This BBC podcast is supported by ads outside the UK.
I'm Alex Schwartz.
I'm Nomi Fry.
I'm Vincent Cunningham, and this is Critics at Large, a New Yorker podcast for the culturally curious.
Each week, we're going to talk about a big idea that's showing up across the cultural landscape, and we'll trace it through all the mediums we love: books, movies, television, music, art.
And I always want to talk about celebrity gossip, too.
Of course.
We hope you'll join us for new episodes each Thursday. Follow Critics at Large today, wherever you get podcasts.
Der Handel an den Weltfinanzmärkten ist nicht einfach. Doch nur weil der Handel etwas schwierig sein kann, heißt das nicht, dass Ihr Broker es auch sein muss. Bei Kapital.com möchten wir Ihnen den Handel so einfach wie möglich machen. Ganz gleich, ob Sie ein Konto eröffnen oder eine Position auf unserer übersichtlichen, benutzerfreundlichen Plattform eröffnen möchten. Schauen Sie noch heute bei Kapital.com vorbei und finden Sie heraus, wie wir Ihnen helfen können, intelligenter zu handeln. CFDs sind mit einem hohen Risiko behaftet. 70% der Anleger verlieren Geld.
Welcome to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service. I'm Julian May, and the studio we're going to be in belongs to the sculptor Michael Vysocki. Michael was the youngest artist to be made a member of the Royal Scottish Academy, and he's a winner of the prestigious Gerwood Sculpture Prize. When I arrive, he's working on a very ambitious and lengthy project. He had the idea 5 years ago, and it's still a long way from completion. The work is called Commensalis. Don't worry, we'll explain what that means. And it will be 7 round, rust-brown steel tables, each 5 metres across, dotted with shiny rivets. The significance of those will become clear too.
This is my old steel. Just going to cut this flat bar here.
Michael's studio is full of industrial equipment, machine tools, welding gear. It's on the edge of the Cairngorm Mountains in the northeast of Scotland. The site of the sculpture is some way off, 7,890 miles away, at Gritviken, an abandoned whaling station on the island of South Georgia. Michael, you've got this sophisticated and frankly alarming machinery in your studio, but it's a nice, light, airy room with windows in the roof, a fantastic array of shelves with all manner of chisels and set squares and pliers. What was this before it was your studio for making sculpture?
This is an old rural school, so this is the school room. And this school would have been built as part of the 1870s Education Act, putting schools across the landscape. It had been closed since 1968, so it needed quite a bit of work. It's actually a really lovely space. I'm very lucky to have this space. We're at the base of Glenprozen in northeast of Scotland.
But you're now engaged on a major work for somewhere at the other end of the world.
Ooh, I'm out on the deck, and it's the 1st of December, 2021. We're on day 3 of our voyage to South Georgia, and I'm looking over to our first site of South Georgia.
When Michael first went to South Georgia, I asked him to record what he saw and his impressions.
It's really beautiful. The sea's really calm, very deep blue. This has become a kind of mythical island in my mind. So to see it for the first time is just so wonderful.
South Georgia is a sub-Antarctic British overseas territory in the Southern Ocean, and it may feel like the middle of nowhere to humans, but for millions of penguins, seabirds, seals and whales, it's a hugely important breeding and feeding ground.
I've seen about 60, 70 humpbacks. It's so lovely to see this.
From the late 1800s, sealers and then whalers flocked to the island, and more than 175,000 whales were processed there in the first half of the 20th century.
This is Alison Neal. She's the Chief Executive Officer of the South Georgia Heritage Trust.
South Georgia's past has an important story to tell about humankind's relationship with nature. It's gone from being an island that was at the centre of the whaling industry, but now it's a modern rarity, an ecosystem in recovery, and a beacon of hope for conservation activities worldwide.
I'm still getting over yesterday's sightings of all these humpback whales. It was absolutely extraordinary. And they looked like they were kind of surrounding the ship, actually. I got the feeling they were slightly showing off too, actually.
The whales are returning because they are no longer hunted. Elephant and fur seals too. Rats, which came to South Georgia on the whaling ships and preyed on the eggs and young of seabirds, have been got rid of.
Well, the Trust wanted to challenge artists to try and find a way to tell those conservation messages of South Georgia. Michael's creation helps people not only to understand that past, but highlights that wildlife resurgence.
So they held a competition. Michael Visocki's proposal won, and in 2021 he visited Grytviken in South Georgia, and this became his studio at the other end of the world.
I've been commissioned by the South Georgia Heritage Trust to complete an artwork down here, the permanent external artwork, in a location which is a disused whaling station, which ran from around about 1904 to 1965. The artwork is going in an area of the whaling station called the Flensing Plan. The Flensing Plan was where whales were dragged up and butchered into meat and blubber and bones. And my idea is to create an artwork which marks the quantities of whales that were taken, reflect those numbers, and also reflect the hope of whales repopulating the seas around South Georgia. The site at present is a kind of derelict industrial site with empty tanks and machinery, all rusted. It's populated now really just by fur seals, some penguins.
That's Michael in his outdoor studio in South Georgia in 2021. Back in his indoor studio in northeast Scotland now, he shows me his work in progress. We'll be hopping between these places and years. This is radio. Space and time travel is perfectly possible.
This is a scale model. It's about 1 to 75 of what I'm going to place in Grytviken.
What we have here are discs about the size of my hand. They're brown, they're rusty colour brown.
This proposal here kind of refers to the oil tanks that are there.
I think I just walked into a place where there are terns nesting. Okay, it's right above my head. All right, you're fine. Whoa, this is their domain. Right, I'm up the back here and I'm looking at a set of tanks. And these are massive tanks. I would say they're 20 metres diameter by 10 metres high. There's probably about 7 or 8 of them. They're all rusted, riveted together, rusted. And actually a couple of them look like they've had a good old cave in from the wind or storm. The sides are buckled, twisted. Massive tanks. I mean, I don't know how many thousands of litres these things would hold, but these are whale oil tanks. This is in the language of the rusty tanks.
I see what you mean. It's almost as if you've sliced the top off an oil tank, and they're brown. Is that the colour of the tanks? Everything's rusty.
Everything's rusty. All of the steel has a very beautiful rusted patina on it. There are 6 of these discs here, and they're actually table height. And these 6 discs refer to the 6 species of whale that were hunted during the whaling years. So over here, that's a blue whale. This is the humpback whale. This is the sperm whale. This is the fin whale. And this is the southern right whale. And this is the sei whale.
South Georgia is densely populated by these seals and seabirds. But there's no permanent human population. An odd choice, then, for a major public artwork.
Well, there are about 10,000 to 15,000 visitors internationally who arrive on cruise ships every year, but we're also going to, using outreach, get it to a far wider audience that might never be able to visit the island. So this commission is going to deliver a powerful message worldwide. Not only is it possible to turn things around for our ecosystems, but that we're all capable of playing a role in that recovery.
I'm going to walk up the ramp. This is the ramp that would have dragged the meat up to the platform above. Steep actually. Go up at the top. And up here there's a wooden deck. There are two holes. Meat would have been put down into cookers below. At the back, there are two winches that would have pulled meat up the ramp. And there are various different bits and bobs lying around, capstans. There's actually a bone saw over here as well. A steam bone saw. And I'm looking down onto the flensing area. Flensing plan, as it was called. But I'm up here to read from Hardy's book, Great Waters. And this is around about 1925. And there's a really beautiful description of what was going on here on the Flensing Plan when it was at full production. So he writes, "From our deck we look right over the factory. Before us is the Flensing platform or plan, a scene of great activity, for the fishing just now is exceptionally heavy. Floating in the water, belly upwards, are many fin and blue whales. It is a fantastic scene. The water in which the whales float, and on which we too are riding, is blood red. On the platform itself, there are whales in all stages of dismemberment. Little figures busy with long-handled knives, like hockey sticks, look like flies as they work upon the huge carcasses. And from time to time, these massive remains are pulled about the platform by steel cables or chains working round bollards from steam winches in the background."
I'm Alex Schwartz.
I'm Nomi Fry.
I'm Vincent Cunningham, and this is Critics at Large, a New Yorker podcast for the culturally curious.
Each week, we're going to talk about a big idea that's showing up across the cultural landscape, and we'll trace it through all the mediums we love: books, movies, television, music, art.
And I always want to talk about celebrity gossip, too.
Of course.
We hope you'll join us for new episodes each Thursday. Follow Critics at Large today, wherever you get podcasts.
Der Handel an den Finanzmärkten kann eine einsame Angelegenheit sein. Wenn Sie also wissen möchten, wie man den Dunkelmodus auf Ihrer Plattform aktiviert oder wie Sie auf Ihr Konto einzahlen können, dann ist es gut, wenn Sie mit einem echten Menschen sprechen. Bei Capital.com sprechen unsere Teams Deutsch, Französisch, Italienisch, Spanisch und viele andere Sprachen. Setzen Sie sich mit uns in Verbindung und wir helfen Ihnen gerne bei der Beantwortung Ihrer Fragen zum Thema Trading. Capital.com. Entdecken Sie einen Broker, der Ihre Sprache spricht. CFDs sind mit einem hohen Risiko behaftet. 70% der Anleger verlieren Geld. Geht es Ihnen nicht auch auf die Nerven, wenn ein Unternehmen mit all seinen Auszeichnungen prahlt? Uns auch. Fühlt sich so aufgesetzt an, oder? Mit uns von Capital.com können Sie sich also wieder Ihrem Podcast widmen. Übrigens haben wir bei den 2024 Online Money Awards die Auszeichnung Best Overall Trading Plattform erhalten. Oh, ups. Capital.com. Viel besser in Sachen Trading als in Sachen Werbung. CFDs sind mit einem hohen Risiko behaftet. 70% der Anleger verlieren Geld.
You're listening to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service. I'm Julian May, and this is Michael Visocki reading marine biologist Alistair Hardy's classic description of the whaling station in Grytviken, and the exact spot where the sculpture Michael is working on will be sighted.
Then there are the factory buildings themselves, ejecting clouds of steam. And sheer above it all is a mountain peak of dark rock, splashed with brilliant sunlit snow, towering against a clear blue sky. This blue of the sky reflects on the blood-red water below to give us a curious lilac tint. On the quayside to the right, there are rows and rows of oil drums awaiting shipment, the produce of this gargantuan butchery.
So there's a table for each species that was hunted. On each of these discs, there are little silver dots arranged very carefully, I think, in very careful patterns. They're rather beautiful. What are these little silver dots on them, and, okay. How are they arranged?
So on the surface of each of these tables, there are arrangements of rivets. Now, the site itself...
Rivets?
Yes.
What, like these ones you've got here?
Correct.
Which were made for building ships.
That's right, repairing, building ships. The whole of the whaling industry relied upon flat-packing things, bringing it down south on ships and reassembling it. So rivets are the kind of main constituent fixing for the whole of the industry.
You're sticking rivets in your tables. Well, why are you doing that?
Well, the rivets are symbolic of the holding together of the whaling industry, its infrastructure, if you like. But they also refer to the barnacles that grow on the sides of whales.
Oh, hang on. Whenever you see a picture of a humpback whale, I've always they all look as if they've got acne or something.
That's right, yeah.
Don't they?
These are a very particular type of barnacle that grow on the flanks of whales.
With your artist's eye, you saw a similarity between the shape of these things and the rivets of the machines that we used to kill them. I'm cottoning on to what you're doing here, I think. Am I right to say that every single rivet, every single silver bobble represent a slaughtered whale?
Not quite.
I'm disappointed.
These six tables, I call them the spirit tables. They're the kind of art interpretation part of this artwork. They're much more of a celebration of the return of these species. So these rivets are actually going to be made in stainless steel. So they'll contrast highly and reflect light.
Oh, yes, they do. They do. So we have the rusty table itself, and then they're almost like pearls.
Bubbles as
bubbles.
Well.
Bubbles. Bubbles. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And those are rivets.
Those are rivets. But each of these pattern layouts refer to something of the natural history of each of the species. So, for instance, the humpback whale table here, these rivets are arranged in a swirling circular pattern. And that refers subtly to the way that humpback whale catch krill when they're feeding. And they blow spiral jets of bubbles into the water to kind of trap krill, and then they can move in and eat them.
So you've created a spiral of rivets to represent... That's brilliant. Each of the discs as well has a little bit missing, like as if someone's cut a wedge of cheese out of the disc.
The cuts in each of the tables... I call them cuts, or the trenches.
Yeah, the little cheese wedges.
Cheese wedges, that's a good way of putting it, actually. The little cheese wedges are kind of a disruption of these patterns, quite aggressive cuts into the beauty of the tabletop. These cuts then refer back to this other table, the seventh table, which I call the key table. And indeed it is a key.
The seventh disc has... what I think are the slices taken from the other ones arranged on it.
It shows all of these cheese sections arranged in a Nightingale chart, which is similar to a sort of pie chart. And this denotes the very specific numbers that were taken during the whaling years of each of the species. The industry was very sophisticated. It recorded carefully the catches of each of the species, the sizes of each of the species, and there was 175,250 whales taken during the years from all of the whaling stations in South Georgia. On the top of this table, there are another arrangement of rivets.
That's a kind of rusty old rivet.
And instead of stainless steel shiny rivets, this table is going to be made from the salvaged rivets from the island, which are these rusty things here. So these are actual artifacts from South Georgia. And there are piles of them in these workshops. I'm getting some of these taken back from South Georgia to Scotland and put them into the key table. And each one of these rusty old rivets will represent 50 whales. So this is very specific to what happened there during the industry.
I'm here to help you figure out how on earth we're going to build this sculpture on the Flensen plan, how we're going to get it here, how we're going to put it together, what kind of foundations we're going to use.
In 2023, Michael Visocki returned to South Georgia, this time with an old friend, Stuart Garden. Stuart's based in Australia and works for WSP, a global engineering firm, which donated his time and expertise. People and companies around the world are getting interested and involved.
You've brought along these, what you call coupons.
Yep.
Now, this is the steel that I've specified for the sculpture.
Yeah, so this is a weathering steel. It's actually been very kindly given to us by a company called Blue Scope.
And these little samples are maybe, what are these?
About 2 mil thick.
2 mil thick.
And 150 by 100 mil.
And they've been stamped very carefully with numbers, codes.
Yep, and they have been weighed very accurately in the steel supplier's lab. And so what we'll do is put them outside, and in a year's time we'll get somebody, maybe you, maybe somebody else working, to take them off, remove the corrosion product and weigh them again.
Okay.
That allows us to make an estimation of how much of the metal has corroded and the corrosion rate. And now what should happen is corrosion should progress initially reasonably quickly, and then it should stabilise, because that's really the intent of a weathering steel, is to develop a protective patina.
It's a very beautiful red oxide patina.
Yeah. And we'll find a spot really as close to the Flensen plan as we can. We'll set them up and photograph them and document them, and then leave them to the elements and see how they get on. Is it a nice ring to it?
The title of your work is Commensalis. That's a very unusual word. What does it mean, and why have you chosen it for your artwork?
It is an unusual word. I had been looking for a title for this as I was developing the idea, and I was researching the relationship between the whale barnacle and the whale. The relationship between the whale and the whale barnacle is in fact a commensal relationship. It's kind of a benign relationship between these two organisms, where neither are harmed. But it got me thinking about how perhaps we ought to have that kind of relationship with our natural environment as well. But actually, when you look at the definition of commensalism, there is a reference to eating at the same table.
All right. We've got the dictionary definition here. The word commensalism is derived from the word commensal, meaning eating at the same table. That's really interesting, considering what you're making.
Yeah, I know. A lot of luck involved in that, I think.
Because you're making tables.
I am, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't quite believe it, actually. Yeah, it kind of sets up this idea that perhaps this is a way of interacting with our planet. Let's all eat at the same table.
Yeah. You're a creative artist. This is a very imaginative piece. But aren't you actually part of the problem? Gritviken, South Georgia, there's these whaling stations in a state of decay around the islands. Mm. The island is covered in scrap. Are you not actually adding to that in some way?
Gillian, I've really struggled with it, actually, if I'm to be honest with you. Yeah, why bring all this stuff to an island that's got lots of stuff on it that should otherwise really be left alone? I have to remember that visitors will go there no matter what, and lots of visitors, and it's bewildering. It's a strange place. There are seals everywhere. hopefully in some way this artwork, Commensalis, will communicate this complicated story to them in an elegant way.
Michael Vysocki is a hands-on artist. He likes to build his sculptures himself. But Commensalis is seven steel tables, 5 metres across and almost a metre high. This is beyond the scope of the artist alone and his schoolroom studio. So he's moved to the MCE workshop, which is a huge industrial steel fabricator's shed in Dundee.
Right at the far end is where the key table sits, and it's almost complete, actually. We've had a really, really good run at it. The laser cutters and the steel benders, and it's all fitted really well together. This has been made from probably about 100 little segments. These have been welded in, or we're dressing the welds right now. We come in with a kind of drum sander, which just kind of smooths it all out really nicely, buffing them down, getting them nice and flat. It's actually based on the radius from a tank that I saw over at Gritviken. It's a lovely proportion, I think, even though I say so myself. Yeah, it's just really just a matter of cleaning up all these welds, and then we're going to start to lay out the rivet sections. And I just heard this morning that the rivets will arrive in Scotland, in Dundee, actually, on the 6th of January. That's really quite exciting. I just need to sit with all of these rivets and sort through them and work out what the final patterns will look like.
There's one final question I want to ask you about Commensalis. What do you expect people who visit and encounter your work to come away with?
I think the whole story of whaling, it's a really important story about what we are prepared to do to find resources, what destruction we'll cause. We're all complicit in this story too, in that we all consumed the products from whales' bodies, and those products drove our economies in the 20th century. So there is a parallel here, I think, what we're doing to the planet now, habitat destruction, or what we're doing indirectly through climate change to habitat, to wildlife. I think that's the parallel, really. The captain of the ship on my first trip down there, he put it really very beautifully and said to me, "Michael, the whaling industry was the very best of mankind and it was the very worst of mankind, both at the same time. It was the best of mankind in terms of the ingenuity, the endeavour of undertaking such a pretty dangerous thing in a very remote place. But then, of course, it was the worst in terms of the industrial destruction of these beautiful creatures."
You've been listening to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service with the sculptor Michael Vysocki in the north of Scotland and in South Georgia. The programme was presented and produced by me, Julian May.
But, you know, the story of the island also shows what we'll do to enact change to a situation, I think. How far we can come in understanding our mistakes and then rectifying those mistakes. I'd like people just to know that those tens of thousands of whales are remembered, are memorialised in some way. I think that's really important. I'd like that. I'd like that most of all, actually.
I'm Alex Schwartz.
I'm Nomi Fry.
I'm Vincent Cunningham, and this is Critics at Large, a New Yorker podcast for the culturally curious.
Each week, we're going to talk about a big idea that's showing up across the cultural landscape, and we'll trace it through all the mediums we love: books, movies, television, music, art.
And I always want to talk about celebrity gossip, too.
Of course.
We hope you'll join us for new episodes each Thursday. Follow Critics at Large today, wherever you get podcasts.